Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. My name is Jim Howell, Sedgwick County Commissioner, filling in for John Whitmer this evening. We're happy to have you join us tonight here at your local Liberal Resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. We are pleased to have you here with us this evening. If you'd like to call into our studio lines, they are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 or by email at john@knssradio.com or on Facebook, The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Please reach out. We'd love to hear from you. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Coming up later tonight, we will explore why Democrats are trying to tie RFK Jr. to Trump in a desperate bid to shore up support for Joe Biden with Tony Lyons, who is the co-founder of American Values 2024, the RFK Jr. Super PAC. Then Marcy Lafine will be with us to explain how President Biden's 30 by 30 executive order calls for the conservation of 30% of U.S. lands and waters by 2030, and how that could impact landowners in Kansas. We have legal expert Hans von Spakovsky. Hans von Spakovsky. I'll get better at that one, I think. But he'll join us this evening to discuss the hush money Trump trial in New York. Conservative author Cheryl Chumley will be with us to discuss why she says America's college and anti-Semitism is the Democrat Party's shame. Caroline Moore, the vice president of Parents Defending Education, will join us to explain why their organization claims that the Biden administration's final Title IX regulations announced this week, incorporating gender identity into Title IX, have major implications for privacy and safety and effectively erases single-sex spaces that ensure the security of female students. We'll get to our weekly Under the Dome legislative update from Kansas House Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter, and we'll be taking your calls later on this evening at 316-869-1330. So it's great to be with you this evening. This is a great honor to host this show tonight. I am a huge fan and religious listener of the John Whitmer Show. And so to be on this side of the microphone is quite thrilling for me. If you know much about me, you might say I'm a bit of an odd duck. I ask a lot of questions and seem to have a lot of passion for a lot of policy issues. I pride myself to be analytical, and it's a gift and a curse. Some people might disagree, but well, for me, I tend to be suspicious and distrusting of someone else's narrative. I like to chase the conclusions back to the data source and that delivered them. Whether it's a discussion on salary proposals or electrical regulations, I am going to research until I can determine the truth. So back in 2020, county commissioners discovered that they had the legal responsibility to determine the policies that would govern our community's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. I vividly remember two points. On a Sunday afternoon, a special BOCC meeting on March 22nd, 2020, Dr. Mins, who is the county health officer, he encouraged the county to establish significant restrictions on the sovereign citizens of Sedgwick County. At that moment, we had zero cases of COVID in Sedgwick County. The so-called experts said, if we did nothing, we could see as many as 50,000 deaths or 10% of Sedgwick County's residents. They said to stop this, we needed to implement these restrictions for 2 weeks. At this point, it seemed to me this was an alarmist rhetoric, and the solution sounded even more silly. It was a few days earlier, on March 18th, Governor Laura Kelly made an executive decision to close all public schools, when across the state we only had one case of COVID. Looking back now, doesn't this seem ridiculous? I remember raising constitutional concerns. I was reminded quickly that I was no expert and that I should do the right thing to protect the public. I boldly stated that I believed that the best attack would be to educate the public and to trust them to make the best health decisions for themselves and their families. I was outvoted, as usual. And so the liberal faction on the commission that led that day, I continued to fight against the government control. Ultimately, the commission allowed liquor stores and abortion clinics to operate while they closed down churches. I remember digging into the data nearly every single day. I constantly made arguments for a strategy that would respect the sovereign citizens to determine their own response to COVID. Some of you may be listening to me right now, and perhaps you are one that had immune-compromised health, and you could not leave your basement for a year or more. On one side, I feel your plight and your situation. But on the other side, I entrust the principles of self-determination. I firmly believe that government is not here to control us, but to serve us. These mandates and restrictions put the safety of one person on the back of another. The Republican principle of personal responsibility and personal freedom were destroyed with these useless government rules. I stated that anyone that needed to have greater protection could always do more for themselves, accepting greater responsibility. Principles and data should always drive our decisions. I know I have some opponents that do not like the fact that I am data-driven when it comes to election integrity and security. I have studied this topic for many, many years, and I'm engaged in the debate. Yet when I present conclusions based on data that go against the popular opinion, I make a lot of people angry. I can talk taxes at a deep level. I think I know more about tax policy than many of my peers, and I'm glad the state is working on some overdue tax cuts. I sure hope that passes this weekend, or should I say Monday or Tuesday. And the data certainly supports a strong argument that this really must happen this session. I'm a cheerleader on the state doing this, and they cannot do it soon enough, in my opinion. Actually, I have a few mind-blowing ideas that I cannot get any support for because I'm not in the legislature. One example is how about a property tax credit applied to every property right now, this year, to lower the burden right now. The great people of our state have overpaid the state, and they should return it as soon as possible, and they should do it in a way that would address the most despised tax of all, which is namely property tax. Just this week, I was reviewing a proposed national electric code proposal, and the subject of whole house surge protection devices was proposed as a new mandate for newly remodeled homes or new construction. I see this as a smart consumer decision, but it should not be mandated in building codes. It will not save a human life, but it could be that it would save a TV or consumer electronics. It's like consumer insurance. So why are we contemplating this? Well, because the NEC says so. It could be that it would add hundreds of dollars to the cost of a home while we are struggling to have enough affordable housing. This is exactly the wrong type of regulation that we need. Understanding how this works and studying the data has led me to a conservative conclusion that we should not mandate SPDs in homes. But to return to my main point, we need to be data-driven. So much of this country is divided right now, and one of the problems we are having is echo-chambered country. We are anecdotal, so much of the debate is shallow and based on very little data. I think we can do better, but it takes time and energy to dig into the data and ask great questions. One of the frustrations I see getting worse and worse, both nationally and within the state of Kansas, and even locally, is our political divide. Even within the Republican Party, we are seeing a split and a loss of guiding principles. If we cannot unify over our principles and on basic platform language that should guide us in our policy, we will lose here and there and everywhere. There's too much at stake. We need to agree on principles, and we need to be open to our minds, be inquisitive and data-driven. We need to be willing to concede our assumptions and accept reality, whether it's about election security, tax policy, surge protection devices, or COVID. We need to know our principles and stick to the Constitution and let verifiable data drive our decision-making. Back in 2021, President Joe Biden directed the Department of the Interior to develop a plan to conserve at least 30% of our lands and waters by 2030. In collaboration with the Departments of Agriculture and Commerce, many have argued that President's true intention is to undermine private property rights, restrict landowners' ability to control their own lands, and prioritize environmental, non-governmental organizations over hardworking American producers of energy and agricultural commodities. So joining us now to discuss these details of the and implications of Biden's 30 by 30 agenda is Marcy Lafine. Marcy, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here. Always glad to be a part of this conversation.
Well, I remember years ago talking about Agenda 21, and I guess this is the next level. So yep. I'd like you to fill us in. I'm not as familiar with this one, but I think we need to get familiar because this is, as we just talked a little bit before the show here, this is terrifying, frankly. So, Marcy, preserving America the beautiful is great on paper, but the devil's in the details. In Biden's 30 by 30 conservation plan, please explain what this is. What prompted the adoption of this plan? And tell us about it, Marcy.
So you kind of have to go back further. Like you mentioned, the Agenda 21. Unfortunately, George H.W. Bush had done some things with that. It was non-binding. The Senate did not ratify it back when he was president. Under Obama, he proceeded to join the Paris Climate Agreement. And Trump pulled us out, thank God. None of this has been ratified by the Senate. You know, our Constitution it would be kind of handy at this point in time. But then Biden proceeded to have executive orders, and their executives 14008, 13990, and I think one called 14072. He's got multiple executive orders, which he claims can just build on the Clean Water Act, which, again, back to history, Nixon put it that in with the EPA. This stuff goes way back. Clinton put in sustainability language throughout our government. So there's building blocks that have been put in place, and now we're at a place where they're just undoing the language. They're redefining. You know, it's a Marxist tactic, right? So the what we think sustainability means is not what we think it really is. Or conservation. For them, you know, farmers go, yeah, I'm all about conservation because they have to preserve the land for their their family, for the generations to come. But this means no humans, no livestock on it. They really want no people to be productive on the land.
Yeah, that brings up a lot of questions for me. You know, again, conservation on its own is not a bad idea. But when government pushes the idea out there and takes our right to make decisions away, it's very concerning. And you know, I remember the Agenda 21, the way I would summarize it is that basically the policy was that they viewed humans as the problem.
Yes.
I just find that very troubling.
Well, yeah. And they honestly, this is that depopulation mentality. Yeah. But they look at cattle as a problem, which is such a joke because if you look at them as being a cud-chewing animal, well, so are deer. And I think are elk. You know, so if you look worldwide, there's just as many of those ruminary animals as there are cows. But yeah, we're going to target the food supply item that we all enjoy. It's so suspicious. And if they really cared about water, they would, you know, like today I was reading on their latest thing, their climate core and the different places where they're trying to put in Justice 40, and they're always about diversity and inclusion. So this isn't just about 30 by 30. It's changing our whole climate of our culture, and they're bringing in ESG, DEI with everything they're doing and where they're implementing it. But they threw out $12 million to Kansas City to create a canopy, you know, the new trees. $12 million. I mean, where's that money going to go?
So Agenda 21 seems like it was policy driven, you know, trying to reduce the impact of humans on the planet, so to speak, right? And discouraging air conditioning and automobiles and pushing forward bicycles and things like that. This one seems like there's another component about basically a land grab and a water grab. So some argue that this is nothing more than a federal land grab. Are they right?
Yes, and it's already been happening. 50% of the West is controlled by the feds. 97% of Nevada is controlled by the feds. Just see how they've done it through the years, and it's through regulation. They've driven off the ranchers. They've driven off the farmers, so they no longer can be sustaining a ranching or farming job, and so they leave the land, and it's taken. The other area is national heritage areas. It's scenic byways. Right. They call something called view shed. There's nature conservancies, which are for perpetuity. I mean, forever. And they, sadly, we have a very aging population in our farmer realm. And so they don't have kids coming back to the farm. Well, people come in and go, we'll help you protect your land. But they're not being honest about what's being in those conservation things and lock it up forever. And
so I guess it leads me to a question. So how do they plan about, how can they possibly take someone's land? And is it even legal? How do they do that?
They So again, the conservation easements are one where the people sign and they don't realize that they've become serfs on their own land. Somebody else is managing it. They have no say anymore. Again, the language is not what one person thinks it's one thing, whereas the feds mean something entirely. And again, it's the regulation that people can no longer survive. But it's not just the land. It's about the food. And we are seeing the one thing recently is the EPA came out with new regulations about our meat lockers. I just talked to my butcher in Whitewater saying, hey, is this affecting you? And he said, no, the cutoff is 6,000 pounds of butchering per day. Well, a steer can be 1,200 to 1,500 pounds. That's only four steer a day that you're butchering. Before they were going to have to put in a water treatment system before their wastewater would reach the sewer. So we're facing losing another segment of our meat butchers, which, you know, COVID, that was a real deal, right? And we're facing losing them. So back to the 30 by 30, the fact that President Biden, these executive orders, has mandated that they put these in at lightning pace, because, of course, they call it a climate crisis, right? It's an emergency. We got to do it right now. That they're coming into every single agency and they're cutting corners on public comment periods. They're cutting the time. They're not having second rounds. It is so deceptive. And I'm, you know, there's been, praise God, Attorney General Kobach has been joined many states on many lawsuits on these things because they keep trying to put it in.
He's been great for the landowner. He understands the Constitution and the threats of our government, frankly. We're listening to Marcy Lafine. She's talking about the Biden's 30 by 30 agenda. So, Marcy, will Congress have to pass any legislation to enact any of this, or can Biden and his administration just put out this plan by an executive order?
It's happening.
It's happening right now.
It's happening every single day. We get new reports every single day of how this is happening.
It's just terrifying to me.
It's very alarming.
Yeah.
No farmers, no food. Have you seen that movie, the documentary by Epic Times? This, we're living it.
Wow.
And all you have to do is look to Europe. They're 20 years ahead of us, and you're seeing them telling them the farmers have to cull their cattle. They're having to give up their land. But again, in the language, you know, we were talking before we went on air, they're even your education department, right, is putting this down. And so you got kids in schools watching Before the Flood, which is a radical movie about climate science. We're gonna die and you got to stop eating meat and you got to do your part because it's this doomsday thing that's not based on truth.
Well, it seems like a lot of this is just totally junk science to me.
It's junk science.
It's just horrible that they, and this is driving policy. It really is. It is alarming, frankly. You know, I think back about Agenda 21. I guess their goal was to do all these things by 2021.
Yes.
They obviously failed,
right?
Which is why I guess we're on round two of this, but it's actually worse.
So they have 17 goals, the UN Agenda 2030, if you look at them, and it's very comprehensive. Okay. It's every arena of life except religion, because it is a religion.
Hmm.
And so they're looking to implement this in every facet of our life and have it be earth worship or subordination. I mean, this is about ESG scores, environment, social governance. And they're wanting to, well, we didn't get into the natural asset accounts yet, but Biden has mandated every agency to do a natural asset accounting. So they're trying to put a monetary value to photosynthesis, pollination, clean air, clean water. Well, what a perfect way to offset your $35 trillion spending habit is to come up with this fictitious government-generated valuation of everything. But then, honestly, it's going to put the feds against your private landowners because they're the largest landowner.
So it leaves me to a really, a thought here. What can anybody do about this, and where can they go to get more information about it?
So, American Stewards of Liberty is a phenomenal resource. I have found them to be a very reliable with the latest information. I would say if you're in Kansas, if you're a county commissioner, join the Kansas Natural Resource Coalition. They are front and ahead of the game because they've been helping Western Kansans deal with the federal government with this lesser prairie chicken, with the Quivira water issues. They have been learning the coordination technique, which our federal agencies actually have that language within them, and most county commissioners do not realize that they actually have the power to call a meeting that the feds would have to come sit down and they would get to set the agenda. Now, one county mistakenly did that. They were just trying to have a meeting and they didn't realize what they were doing was calling coordination. And if you call that and you're not ready, the nine big wig attorneys from the East Coast show up and you're sitting at playing hardball with some big guys.
Well, as a county commissioner here in Sedgwick County, when Richard Ranzau was here, he did lead us to join KNRC, and we actually did that. Carl, Peter, John, and I
supported
that.
Carl told me that.
Yeah, we did that. So I was very proud of the fact that we were part of the KNRC. I think, unfortunately, the following election in 2016, we lost the majority, and the county basically thought this was not important. I think it's incredibly important.
It's incredibly important, and yeah. I think, and I when I spoke at the Pachyderm a couple weeks ago, I was like, your food, do you like to eat your food? Because this is getting real when they're coming in and dictating conservation.
Well, Marcy, thank you so much for taking time to help us understand this more deeply. We really appreciate your expertise. You're fantastic.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Earlier this week, White House Deputy Secretary, Press Secretary Andrew Bates issued a statement against the so-called pro-Palestinian student protests that have been churning on America's college campuses in recent months, calling the most recent displays blatantly anti-Semitic and condemning them in the strongest terms and as despicable, quote-unquote. But many argue these protesters are a product of the Democrat machine. Coming home to roost with us now to explain why she says America's college anti-Semitism is the Democrat Party's shame is conservative author Cheryl Shumley. So, Cheryl, thank you for joining us this evening.
It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Cheryl, extremists and the campus occupations across America are part of the same movement that brought us violence to the cities in 2020, aren't they?
Pretty much, yes. And these are all born of Democrat policies and agendas, right? Just for one example, look at how Democrats have torn apart America by race, by sex, by class, and generated all this sort of envy among the classes. And then you take that and you bring that to college campuses where the youth on college campuses have been brought up for 12 years in the public school systems to hate America and to blame America for all that ails the world. And part of that, of course, being America's allies, Israel. And it's really no surprise what we're seeing on college campuses today.
Wow. Well, I see your point, and I completely agree with you. It seems like the teachers' unions and DNC have spent so many years lowering educational standards and promoting radicals like the Democrat Socialists of America. It's no wonder these campus radicals are taking over. What do you say?
Well, if you look at what the Democratic Socialists of America have pushed for years now, go right to their website and you can check this out in their own words. They have actively sought DSA members to go into the field of public school teaching because they see it as a position that it's difficult for them to get fired from, government jobs and so forth, but B, they see it as a way of bringing forth the socialist Marxist agenda into the youngest and most innocent and vulnerable of America's minds. And so they have infiltrated the school systems, and this is the natural outcome of 10, 15, 20 years even of the dumbing down of schools, children in schools, and the infiltration of socialists, really. Card-carrying socialists in teaching positions.
Well, I think you're exactly right. You know, we're seeing DEI pretty much everywhere these days, especially on college campuses. So do you think that diversity, equity, and inclusion programs on college campuses are behind the recent spike in campus anti-Semitism?
Well, it certainly feeds into that narrative, right? I mean, these things don't happen in a bubble. So the whole woke generation, right, the millennials, the snowflake type of generation being brought onto college campuses with a very anti-America slant, and then they're confronted with agendas like you just brought up, DEI, that right. All feeds into this same narrative.
Well, I tell you, when I watch the newscasts and see what's going on these campuses, it's just appalling. I'm speechless, frankly. I don't know what to think about it, but it's obviously getting worse and worse, and I don't know where it's going. But so tonight we're speaking with conservative author Charles Chumley. Thank you for being with us tonight. Next question is, President Biden seems to be trying to have it both ways, trying not to upset his left-wing base by not fully condemning these protests. Is that correct, Cheryl?
Yeah, you know, think about it for a second. If these were all pro-Trump protesters on America's college campuses, first off, the administrators would find a backbone and they would have clamped down immediately on it. But in the small chance that they weren't able to do it, they certainly would have called in the police. And then if the police weren't able to do it, you would have, coming from this White House, messaging that just condemned these protesters in the harshest of terms, followed quickly by threats from the Department of Justice to launch investigations wherever they could on college campuses. So the message would have been sent loud and clear that these types of protests, if they were done by MAGA-type kids, were not allowed. So how come we're not getting that same sort of messaging from this White House when we have blatant, not just anti-Semitic protesters, but pro-Hamas, pro-terror group protesters?
Anecdotally, I would just say that the folks on the right, when they protest, they don't destroy the area around them. They don't tend to go to violence. What I see right now is intimidation and violence in these protests by the Palestinians and these students. And even members of Congress right now are actively supporting these protesters. Have you seen that as well?
Well, these members of Congress who are supporting these protesters, you know, they're doing it with an agenda in mind. They're doing it right. Because they're in this political bubble, so nothing that they create in terms of chaos ever impacts them. So they can afford to step forward and pretend like they're supporting First Amendment speech rights, which these don't fall under First Amendment speech rights, right? Because you're talking about Jewish students being advised by their rabbis to stay off college campuses because of safety and security concerns. That goes far beyond a First Amendment issue. But second off, most of the Democrats who are supporting these types of protests on college campuses, they bring that anti-Semitic viewpoint to Congress with them. The squad is filled with anti-Semites, right? That's basically one of their card-carrying agendas. And they've been pretty open about it, even though they have been outed time and again. So I wouldn't read too much into the Democrats on Capitol Hill supporting these protesters, except to say that no surprise here. We know what they stand for. At least now they're being open about it.
It's interesting. I've watched, of course, I'm a Sedgwick County commissioner here, one of the commissioners for Sedgwick County, one of the five. In the city of Wichita, they've had Palestinian people come out and advocate for essentially a proclamation demanding, if you will, that we would condemn the Israel's positioning on this, and to support the Palestinian violence, if you will. I'm appalled by that. And we haven't seen it at the county just yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see this at even places like Sedgwick County. This seems like this debate's happening in cities and counties across this country. And I'm just shocked right now that people think that violence is the answer, and they condemn Israel for basically defending themselves. This is what started this whole thing.
Well, we're not seeing it in Texas, are we? Because, you know, they shut down the protest movement there pretty quickly. So we're seeing it mostly in the Democrat-run communities, whether they're college campuses or local governments, right? And it's the same playbook that the Black Lives Matter movement used to. They came out and they pretended that they had some sort of justified grievance that gave them the right to shut down city streets and throw bricks through storefront windows and so forth. And then shortly after, they were emboldened by the Barack Obama White House, who even invited members of Black Lives Matter to the White House to discuss things with him. As soon as they received that sort of head pat from the Democrats, they came out with their own list of demands. And this is the way of Marxists, right? They create this chaos using violence because they see that as a justifiable way to get their ends. And then they have their list of demands, which are usually so ridiculous that no sane person could even consider them.
Well, Cheryl, if folks want to connect with you or read more about your articles, can they? I think they can find you at online at CherylChumley.com. That's CherylChumley.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you so much for being with us this evening. I really appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right.
Jim, I got to hop in here, let you know we are still trying to connect with Tony. He's apparently he's on the road. We got him, and then we dropped him, and then we got him again, and we dropped him again. So we're having some connection issues.
Well, I love having you with on the show as a guest.
Oh, wow. You know, sure. what do you want to know? I can't really talk about RFK Jr. I mean, I'm not going to vote for Robert Kennedy Jr., but I, you know, the more votes he takes from Biden, I'm happy with it, but.
It's interesting, you know, it does have an impact on the race, though, does it not?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, I saw some polling the other day. Yeah, I mean, he takes votes from Trump, but I think what he does is he gives the never Trumpers a home. And frankly, that also hurts Biden, because otherwise I think those never Trumpers would go to Biden. I think we saw that 4 years ago that, you know, one of the reasons Joe won is because never Trumpers voted for Joe.
Right.
And now in this cycle in November, never Trumpers, if Kennedy's not there, never Trumpers may vote for Joe again. But if there's Kennedy in there, those never Trumpers may consider. I don't think Republicans are going to, you know, go to Kennedy. But I do think some of the hell no, I'm not voting for Trump might vote for him.
I know some of those folks,
you know, this is our problem as Republicans. You know, we had some who did that with Schmidt and voted for Pyle, and now we have 4 more years of Laura Kelly. And 4 years ago, or going on, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, was same thing with Kobach, and we got Laura Kelly in the first place.
That's right.
And it's the same thing with Donald Trump. And I know a few of those never-Trumpers. And this election cycle, I've been very public about the fact that initially I wasn't a Trump guy. I liked Ron DeSantis. I thought DeSantis would be a great candidate. I think Glenn Youngkin would be a great president. All that being said, now Trump's the nominee, and I will 100% be, you know, 100% behind Trump. I'm going to vote for Trump. I will, you know, if I'm out door knocking, I'll be happy to carry his lit, put out a yard sign.
I'm a strategic voter. It doesn't really matter if I like him so much. I just know I don't want Biden personally.
Well, yeah, our guy's better than their guy. That simple.
That's all that matters.
You know, I mean, I wasn't thrilled with McCain.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really thrilled with Romney, but I was a delegate to the convention for Romney, and I was happy to vote for him.
It is what
I'll
it
do
is.
It again. And
you know, strategic voting is part of the plan here.
Right. And I know some people say it's the lesser of two evils, and, well, you know, that's the system. And then we have to do a better job of putting up better nominees. But in the, you know, this case, what's fun about this case is it's finally the Democrats' problem. Because we've had to deal with this for years. Yep. Now they're having the problem. And I'm hoping, and for the listeners, I know Andrew is on the phone right now trying to get him. We had him back. I will reach out to Tony and try and rebook him if we can't get him on tonight. I will get him back and hopefully have him back next week. But one of the things I want to ask is the DNC has, they've got a whole war room now set up just to deal with Robert Kennedy Jr. They seriously consider him a threat. And the problem is the margins are so narrow this time. Biden is losing the African-American vote. He's losing the millennials because he wasn't able to deliver their student loan forgiveness like he promised. He's losing them because he's supporting Israel. Oh, perish the thought. And so he's losing his base. And now you factor in the fact that he's got Marianne Williamson, who's a crackpot, but she'll take a percent or two.
Right.
And, oh, the professor, what's his name? The guy with the funky hair. Cornel West. Wow. He's running, but he'll take, he'll take a percent or two. Hmm. And if Kennedy can get 5-7% of the vote.
That's huge.
Especially all that's coming from Joe. None of that's coming from Trump. Those are all Joe votes, and Joe can't afford to give up 7-10%.
Well, I know I've seen some recent polling that shows that basically, if the election was today,
Trump
would win.
Yeah, and when now you're seeing Joe Biden have to make reinforcement, pump up the troops trips to New York and California, he should not have to be campaigning in Michigan. He should not have the fact that Donald Trump is at play in Michigan, in New York, in places like that. That's not good for Joe Biden.
Right now with the trials that are ongoing, actually, in a sense, this makes the point, does it not? I think people are seeing that the government is basically been weaponized at this point.
Yeah,
it's helping him.
You'll talk with Hans von Spakovsky.
Sure.
It's Spakovsky, by the way.
Spakovsky. I'll get that right, hopefully.
Yes. I've had Hans on the show before. He's great, but he is a true legal expert. He doesn't politicize. He just gives you the facts, just the facts, ma'am. But he will give you the straight skinny. But I think you're right. I think the fact that people are seeing this particular case more than any of the others, really, is so obvious. It's so egregious. It's so outlandish what they're trying to do here. And I think this one and the one down in Georgia are both pretty malarkey.
It's becoming so obvious it's actually backfiring, I think.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. And I think it's going to fall apart like a house of cards. And I think people are seeing through it. And so I think you're right. And I think that's why, and Joe Biden also, it's obvious what he is. He's, a senile old man who really should just go off and play with the grandchildren that he recognizes. Because remember, there's one that he won't recognize. So
that's sad.
Well, but that's,
but you're right.
Joe.
But the Democrats love the fact that they can basically push policy through him.
Of course. Well, they just push him around.
Do whatever they want.
Sure. They roll him out. Okay, Joey, you can have an ice cream. Here, go out there and make your speech and don't go off the teleprompter, which he does. But just go out there and read your speech, Joey. And then when you're done, you get an ice cream. And then at 2 o'clock, you're done for the day. That's Joe Biden for you. See, there's your music. You see how easy this is?
Yep.
Yeah, this is so easy. I don't know why they pay me to do this job, to be honest with you.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.